provided life for you through the body and the blood of his son. He gave you the most precious thing that he had to give. You either have received life or you just took some juice and some bread. If you receive life, if you receive healing and deliverance, then you ought to celebrate. What you can celebrate, you can possess. The Lord has visited you with the blood and the body of his son. What are you going to do with it?
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Of Jesus, I'm so thankful
for the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow.
Come on, sing it one more time. I'm thankful
for the blood of Jesus.
Oh, I'm so give the Lord another shout of praise.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Glory.
Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Good morning, everyone. Good to see everybody. TGIS. Thank God it's Sunday. Not that Sunday itself is important because it is Sunday, but because it's the day that we've set aside to come together as believers, encourage one another, be built up by the mutual faith of one another, to receive from one another, to worship together. It could have been on Monday, it could have been on Tuesday, it could have been on Wednesday, but it is the first day after the seventh day in our calendar, because we run through Saturday and then Sunday's the beginning of the week. And Sunday represents a new beginning, and so many churches have chosen Sunday, but Paul would come back and say, don't let anyone judge you based upon a day. Every day, as Brother Damon said, is an opportunity to worship and praise and celebrate God. So we come together on Sundays, on Tuesdays, on Wednesdays, on Thursdays, on Saturdays, every day.
We come together.
Opportunity to praise the Lord. But Sundays are special because that's the day we've set aside. It has meaning to us, and it's an opportunity for the believers to gather together. So welcome, everyone. Good to see you. If you're visiting for the first time, we're glad you're here. God has something in store for you.
Yes.
Expect, open your heart, get ready to receive what God has for you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Brother Damon.
Good morning. I just want to remind everyone of regularly scheduled things that go on. Tuesday, we have prayer at 6:30. And then, of course, Wednesday assembly. Friday, Brother Rob still has the 6:15 communion and prayer via Zoom. So, men, if you don't have that link, you can talk to him about that. And Saturday evening prayer at 7. Amen. Good things going on. Amen.
Yes.
Got some more good things coming on in the next couple of weeks. Amen. So right now I'm going to be quiet and I'm going to turn it over to the pastoral covering team. They have a presentation, and then after that I'm going to tag team my sister down there. So.
Good morning, church family. I am here on behalf of you, the House of Lord Church family, to give honor where honor is due. Our sister Anitra Hendricks had a birthday this past Thursday, and we want to honor her. I'm going to ask her husband to come and stand in her stead. Sister Anitra is the wife of our own brother John Hendricks, who was a minister here and a very skilled minister, I might add, one who is faithful in the word, one who delivers the word of God with passion and with boldness and accuracy. The evangelistic anointing on him is powerful, and the healing anointing on him is breaking forth. I decree that.
Amen.
His lovely bride, Sister Anitra, they celebrated a 20-year anniversary a few weeks ago, but her birthday was on this past Thursday. Let me tell you a little bit about Anitra. You know all this, so I'm going to talk. Where's my screen? Hey, Sister Anitra, I love you. She is watching via live stream in Dallas because Sister Anitra is consistently who she is everywhere. And first and foremost, she is a daughter. She is a daughter to her parents, Mr. and Mrs. Clark, and she is doing what all good daughters do, honoring her parents. And so her parents had need for her to be with them at this time. And we are thankful and we celebrate you, Anitra, because you have given honor where honor is due. You are being a blessing to your parents, just like you are a blessing to your husband, just like you are a blessing to your workplace, just like you are a blessing in this body as you lead the women of the house. You are consistent. And we thank God for you. We thank God that everything that is in you, when you love on us, you give that to your parents. We thank you that everything that is in you, when you love on your husband, you share that same love of God with everyone who is around you. And so we decree, according to the word of the Lord, that everything that your hand sets to will prosper. We speak the life of God to you and through you as you minister life to your family right now. And we thank God for you. We have gifts for you. We're going to wait for the flowers because we want, you know, them to be fresh when you get back. But we have gifts for you. We have a card that your husband will make sure you get that is signed by your church family. And we want you to get an upgrade on your cell phone, just saying. So there's a check in here to help facilitate that for $150. We love you, Sister Anitra, mighty woman of God, strong in faith. Yeah. And the Lord is working mightily in you and through you. We love you. Thank you, Brother John.
Well, good morning, church family. I am going to dovetail on the pastoral covering team and let you know, say today with me. Today.
Today.
Today is the day you get to buy your tickets. Tickets are on sale in the Word Shop today for Pastor Appreciation 2020. Adults are $30. Children 12 and under are 15, right? Yes. Okay. I was like, I'll try to memorize all my facts. So Saturday, October 24th from 5 to 8 here at the church. So today is the day you can start buying your tickets. And you say, well, I'm going to wait. Don't wait too long because there is a cutoff and you won't be able to buy a ticket. So if you don't have it today, bring it with you Wednesday, Sunday. They are on sale in the Word Shop, so make yourselves available to those.
We're still working. Good morning, church family. I come before you today to give you another opportunity to ratify your covenant in the areas of tithes and offerings. My men of valor are coming. They're going to be distributing offering envelopes to those here in the house. If you want to give online, you can give online via our website, hotlchurch.com. Click on the online sewing button, and you can give that way, or you can click on the link or the in our YouTube feed or our Facebook feed. Today, I want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to read stuff out of order. I'm going to start in verse 6, and we're going to end in verse 5. Verse 6, now I say to say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. And each one must do just as he has proposed and purposed in his heart, and not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound unto you, so that having all sufficiency in everything, you may in abundance for every good deed. As it is written, he that scattereth abroad, he gives to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. And now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing, and the increase of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, for which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. If you've been in church for any period of time, you've heard that scripture taught at this time of the assembly. I've never heard anybody talk about 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. It's the why he brought this forward. He says, it's superfluous for me to write to you about the ministry to the saints, for I know your readiness, of which I boast about you to the Macedonians, namely that Achaia has prepared since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them. And I have sent out the brethren in order that, but I have sent out the brethren in order that our boasting about you may not be made empty in this case. As I was saying, you may be prepared. Otherwise, if any of the Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to speak of you, will be put to shame by this confidence. So I thought it necessary to urge the brethren that they would go on ahead to you and arrange beforehand of your previously promised bountiful gift, so that the same would be ready as a bountiful gift and not affected by covetousness. He wrote a letter to the church at Corinth and says, you guys are awesome. You guys have already promised. You guys are going to do all of these things. And this is the benefit that comes with giving. And it's starting in verse 6, talks about sowing, how if you give richly, you will be rewarded richly. If you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. Talks about how God gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So you know that God gives you the ability to plant the seed. And he also meets your needs. But he starts off with a warning at the beginning. And he says, I know you are generous, and I know you give. But there's a possibility that if I don't remind you of what you're supposed to do, that some covetousness may enter in, and you may not be prepared. And so why do I come before you and bring these passages to you and encourage you? It's to remind you, put that before you every opportunity that we come together, to remind you that this is the way that you receive your blessings from God. This is how you ratify your covenant with God, to where God said, I will do this if you do that. It's not a matter of, I'm going to do this, now God, you do that. God said, I will do this. I will bless you. I will make you great and mighty. And all I ask is 10%. All I ask is for an offering on top of the 10%. And if you do this, then you will receive your blessing. It wasn't man that started that covenant, it was God. And so, I come before you consistently, and I say the same thing when I open up every time. Because you are ratifying your covenant with God. You have the opportunity today to make a change if you've not been living, if you've not been operating where you should be. You don't have to go back and make amends. You don't have to go back and pay arrears. You can start today and move forward. But even the church at Corinth needed to be reminded that you're doing a great thing. And what we're doing in our ministry to Botswana and to these countries that we have on our wall, we are doing more with fewer people than most churches 3 and 4 times our size because of a giving heart that you have. And I come here to say thank you, because you have enabled this small body to accomplish great works around the world. And I'm encouraging you, don't stop. Continue to be a blessing here to the local body and enable us to be a blessing around the world. So if you want to, if you're giving online, you can click on that link on our homepage. You can mail us a check, P.O. Box 140345, Austin, Texas. But whether you give here locally or you give online or whether you mail your check, do it in faith. Understand that the blessing comes because of your faith. Be blessed.
Shed for me. that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. It soothes my doubts and calms all my fears. That same blood dries all my tears. The blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power, because it reaches to the highest mountain.
Thank you, Lord, for being our source, for supplying all of our need according to your living standard. With joy and gladness, we bring out of our house that which is yours, the tithe, Lord, and we honor you with it, Father. And we also bring offerings, Father, in faith, knowing that as we give this morning, it's given unto us, Lord. Father, we agree together with you, Father, that the windows of heaven are open and your blessings are continually overtaking us, Father. You see to it that we are fully furnished, entire, lacking nothing, ready for every good work, ready for every charitable donation, Father. We call this morning's tithe and offering holy unto you and set apart for your will, your plan, and your purpose, Father. Have your way in it and through it, Lord. Thank you, Father. At this time, we are going to release the children to Kingdom Kids and the youth to youth ministry. Let's speak a blessing over our children. Father, we lift the children, the youth of House of the Lord, before you this morning, Father. We call their ministry time blessed of you, Father. Have your way in it and through it, Father. Flow through the children's ministers, Father, the youth ministers, Father, to minister life, Father, to our children and to our young people. We declare and decree that out of their belly flows rivers of living water. That's life unto those who hear, life unto those who receive it, Father. Father, we pray right now that you prepare the hearts and the minds of the young people to receive from you, Father. We call them good ground, ready to receive the flow of the Spirit, ready to receive the impartation of your word, Father. We declare and decree that they are built up, strengthened in their inner man this morning, Father, that they leave here, Father, built up and ready to go out and be who you've called them to be and do what you've called them to do in the earth, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Children, you are dismissed.
We sing praises to your name. Oh, Lord, praises to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. We sing praises to your name.
Praise God. Open your hearts, open your minds, receive the word of the Lord as Pastor Michelle comes and delivers the anointing and set free word of God. Didn't say that right.
Thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you for this day. Father, I thank you for your word that is life to us. Father, I thank you for your anointing. Father, that brings freedom and brings liberty. Father, brings the unction, the ability to function in you. Father, I thank you for your people who have gathered today unto you. Father, I speak a blessing on this people. Father, these that are here sitting in these chairs, God, they could have chosen to stay home and just watch on live stream or just rest. Father, I know there are many things that are going on in people's lives, but God, I thank you for these who are faithful, who when they were able, Father, they stepped out and they came. God, I thank you for all the faithful workmen in this house, Father, for our praise team, our ushers, our hostesses, our children's leaders, Father, our youth leaders, all of those who minister in so many capacities. Father, I thank you for your blessings on them, Father, as we all put our hands to do what you've called us to in the house, even if it's just for a season. Father, you bless and honor the faithfulness of your people. And God, I thank you that you sent your word, Father. You sent your word and delivered us. You sent your word and healed us. And so, Father, as we partake of your word today, I thank you that you continue the process you began in this assembly and even last night, Father, of miracles, signs, and wonders in our bodies and our lives and everything that concerns us and pertains to us, Father, as we feed on the bread of your word. You are fighting on our behalf, Father. Your word is going forth on our behalf so that we don't need to fight. But, Father, we stand in your blessing and in your provision, and we see the victories that you bring to the house, the victories that you are bringing to your people. And I thank you that as we study your word today, Father, there are answers, that understanding comes. Father, that things are open to us by your Spirit. Father, questions are answered. Father, we are given new opportunities to lay hold of new revelation, Father, to see what you're calling us to do, what you're calling us to be in you. Father, I yield myself right now to speak according to your anointing. And Father, we all choose to draw on that anointing so that we will hear the things that we have need of. Father, the stuff that we know we're seeking for and things we didn't even realize we needed to hear, Father, you speak to us by your Spirit. And I thank you that this time together today, Father, is profitable. It produces in the kingdom. It produces in our lives the freedom that you sent your Son to give us. And we'll be careful to give you all the glory and the honor and the praise. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God is in the house. He is in each one of us, and he's doing amazing things. And I'm excited about it. Anybody here excited? Yeah. A little bit. There's some amazing things coming up, guys. Amazing things. We've been standing and things that we've been believing for a long time. I'm expecting some suddenlies. You know, it may not happen quickly because I wanted it to happen, you know, 6 months ago or 6 years ago. It seems like it's been a long time. But all of a sudden, when it happens, it's like a suddenly. It's like those people that they interview and they say it was an overnight success. And like, yeah, I've been doing this for about 20 years, but there was a suddenly that made something happen overnight. But the standing and the faithfulness and the faithfulness and the standing and the coming and the continuing and the speaking and the declaring and the praising and the staying with and continually, does it pay off, Michelle?
Yes.
Hallelujah. God is faithful. He is good, always good. If you don't know what happened in Sister Michelle's life, I'm sure that if you would ask her, she would be glad to let you know. But, you know, make sure you got some time because it's a long list. It's a long list that God is doing, and it's beautiful and it's wonderful. And I think just about anyone in this room has those things going on that God is doing in us, that He's faithful in, that He's coming alongside us and He's showing Himself strong in our behalf, because He is faithful. He is faithful. And if you don't quit, one more time, if you don't quit, amen, amen. I don't know about you, but I ain't quitting. Ain't no quitting me. I thought about it once or twice, but I decided that it probably wouldn't be profitable. You know, this is not a good place to stop right here and circle the wagons. We want to go into the promised land. Amen? Amen. I want to ask you to consider something to, I guess, I'm not sure if it would be a challenge, but I just want to put this before you, some things that God is doing in our prayer time. It has been very interesting to see what God is doing, and I know that the Spirit of the Lord will reveal more about this as we go, but just to share a personal testimony, the nights tend to run together. I think it was Tuesday night. I was walking up here and praying, and for those of you who haven't come, we pray individually for a time and seek the Lord, and then we just come together and pray together and just share what God put on our hearts. So it's a beautiful time of coming together, and I appreciate those of you who can. I know schedules are crazy, so you and God work it out, whether or not you should be here. But I noticed as I was walking, Sister Jerry began walking like with me. I'm like, is she following me, or am I following her? What's going on? We're both mostly with our eyes closed, just praying. And she stopped for a moment, and I continued walking. And somehow I just saw in my spirit, she's standing in a pool of water. What does that mean? You know, she's standing in water. And I was like, why did I see that? And then the Lord said, walk with her. And so I turned around to catch up, and He said, no, that's okay. She'll wait on you. And sure enough, she stopped. And when I caught up to her, she began walking. And as she was walking, it's like I heard the sloshing of the water that she was walking in. And it's like she was walking in a river. And as I continued to walk with her, I began to feel that anointing just flow through my body. I was in a lot of pain at that time, having some issues with the hip and some other things going on, and a lot of pain. And like many of you, you just continue to trust God for your healing and you keep going. You don't consider it. But I noticed that as I was walking and in that anointing, it just began to flow through me and that pain began to go away. And I said, hey, I kind of like this. So, you know, I'm seeking the Lord for direction. What are you doing, God? What are you saying to the church? And He's like, just come play in the water for a while. Just come up here in the river. And so we just walked for a while. And as we continued, the pain decreased and decreased and decreased. And then there was a time that we stopped over here. And I asked Sister Jerry, I said, do you have any instructions? And she said, I don't know what you mean. And I said, well, I was just, as I was walking with you, the Lord was doing this in me. And you know, it's mostly gone, but not wholly gone. And she just laid hands on me. And we stood there in that anointing until it was wholly gone. And the pain completely left. And it was the kind of pain that made you wonder, you know, I don't know what this is going to cost to deal with, because, you know, it was back here and it was up here. Are we talking about joints? Are we talking about kidneys? Are we, I don't know what's going on, God, but I know You're bigger. And as we continue to walk, that pain completely left. And I am healed, and I stand here healed today because of the goodness of God. But the thing that I want you to understand is that when God begins doing something, we have the opportunity to participate with it. We can stand from a distance and watch, or we can participate. Now, there's nothing special or holy necessarily in and of itself about this section of the sanctuary, except that this is where the men and women of God stand to minister. This is where the praises go forth right here. And it's like this is the convergence of the ministers, the leaders, the people that are praising. And it has been prophesied before of men of God. There is a river flowing here. I don't believe it's a come and go thing. I don't think it's just when Miss Jerry is up here. That's the only time it flows. I think she participated in what God was doing. And I just want to invite you that as we're worshiping God, as we're praising, God will meet you right there. God will do what you need right there. But sometimes you feel that little poke in your back. Remember like when you're little and your mom would poke you and they would say, you know, who needs such and such? And she's like, get up there, get up there. Sometimes God's going to poke you and say, get up there, get up there. Or maybe you just want to. Maybe you're just interested. You don't have to have a divine tug that moves you out of your body. You just, God, I want more of you. I want to see what this is like. While we're worshiping, while we're praising God, if you have that unction, if you have that desire, if you're interested, just come up here. Just come stand up here. Come stand in the anointing and in the presence of God and see what He'll do. Because I came in praying for the body, for the people. Father, what are you saying? We want to participate in what you're doing. We want to, you know, we want to be the men and women of God you've called us to be. And He just brought healing. Just while I was going about what I'm doing, He said, I want to do this today. So we come in with, I want to see God do this and I want to see that. But sometimes God comes in with, I want to heal that in you today. I want to take care of that today. And if you will yield to that process, I believe you will be able to go deeper. And you know, there's a scripture in, I think it's Ezekiel, where it talks about the river that flowed from the porch, from the temple, from the place where God dwelt. And as it went and as it continued, it got deeper and deeper and deeper. That was a prophetic word. He was not describing at that point an actual temple. That temple may be built someday physically. I'm not certain. I haven't studied it out. But I know that the water flowed from the temple. The temple was the place that was set aside to worship God. We are the temple. We are the temple. And then corporately, this is the place that we have set aside to worship God. And I believe the river of the anointing is flowing. And I believe that it is increasing. And the more that we participate with what God is doing, the more He will release from His heart of what He wants. So I'm challenging you this morning. You don't have to wait for somebody to ask you or tell you. Just as we're worshiping, as we're praising God, as prayer is going forth before assembly, if you just want to come and walk up here and just see what God is doing, I invite you to do that because He wants to show Himself strong on your behalf. Amen? Amen. God is doing great and mighty things. God began stirring a word in me a few weeks back, and last night, He just really began to open it up. So we're going to jump in into the book of Judges. I don't seek out the Old Testament to try to find messages there. Generally, what happens is while I'm in prayer, I'm praying in the Spirit, seeking the Lord, and He'll begin to speak to me about a passage. And I'm thinking, what is that about? What is that about? And He says, look it up. You know, we want God to just read everything to us, right? And He's like, we already wrote that down. Why don't you just take advantage of what's there? And so I will go there and He'll begin to tell me things about it. So there is a lot in the Old Testament that is prophetic about what God is doing in the church today. And so we can take advantage of that understanding, apply it to where we are. It gives us an idea of where we're going and how we can adjust for the amazing things that God wants to do. Because how many of you know He is up to something in the earth right now? He is up to something, and the enemy doesn't like it because he's fighting it with everything that he's got. But how many of you know everything he's got ain't enough? Ain't enough, because God is greater. He has never lost, and He never will. So let's look in Judges chapter 6, and I'm just going to read for a little bit, starting in verse 1. It seems like this is a broken record in the Old Testament. The people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Left to our own devices, that's generally what people slide into. And the Lord gave them into the hand of Midian 7 years, and the hand of Midian overpowered Israel. And because of Midian, the people of Israel made for themselves the dens that are in the mountains and the caves and the strongholds they were hiding, trying to get away from the oppression. For whenever the Israelites planted crops,
The Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east would come up against them. They would encamp against them and devour the produce of the land as far as Gaza and leave no sustenance in Israel, no sheep or ox or donkey. They were taking everything that these people would produce. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents. They would come like locusts in number. Both they and their camels could not be counted, so that they laid waste the land as they came in. And Israel was brought very low because of Midian. And the people of Israel cried out for help to the Lord. You know, when we refuse to serve God, to obey His word, there is grace and there is forgiveness. But at a certain point, you are going to begin to reap what you sow. And when you begin to see destruction overtaking the lives of the people, when we see a lot of the oppression that we have seen in our country and in the churches in our country, understand that they've left the ways of God. It's not the punishment or the judgment of God. Our judgment was poured out on Jesus, okay? But there's just a law of seed time and harvest, of sowing and reaping. And when you sow to unrighteousness, that's what you reap up until the time that you call out unto the Lord. There is complete forgiveness. God is always right there. He doesn't leave us or forsake us, but there are times that we forsake Him. And we need to be careful of that and be watching our hearts, that we're constantly wanting to draw closer to Him. So the people of Israel cried out for help to the Lord. And when they cried out to the Lord on account of the Midianites, the Lord sent a prophet to the people of Israel. And he said to them, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I led you up from Egypt. I brought you out of the house of slavery. I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of all of the oppression. I drove them out before you. I gave you their land, and I said to you, I am the Lord your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But you have not obeyed my voice." You know, many times we cry out to the Lord, what is going on here? The Lord is first going to show you this is where it got off kilter. This is where you got off center. This is where some things changed. This is where you began to have some issues. And you know, that's the essence of what He said in Chronicles. I'm going to do all of these things for you, but if you refuse me, if you walk away from me, if you get away from my statutes and what I've told you, there's going to be trouble. But if my people call by my name, at that point, if you will humble yourselves and pray and seek my face and stop doing the stuff that got you into this, I will hear you and I will heal your land. That is the opportunity that we have before us right now. God has said you took prayer out of the schools. You took the order out of the family. You took the completeness of the Word of God out of the church, and now you got some issues. But if you will come to me, if you will seek me, put me back where I'm supposed to be, I will heal your land. That is our hope right now. And if you're watching CNN and Fox and Facebook and all of these media outlets looking for what's going to happen in my world, it doesn't look good. But I'm here to encourage you that as we, the people of God, cry out for His will, as we get closer to Him and say, okay, God, show us what, where, and how you want us to do, He is healing our land, even though we cannot see it right now. God is bringing healing to our land. I am not giving up, and I am not going to stand by and watch the enemy take away from us. I am not yet... not yet on the streets doing anything. I'm listening. God, when do you want a worship riot to break out? Where do you want a word riot to break out, God? I am here. I am listening, but I am praying and decreeing over my nation and over many nations of the earth, over the world that God gave us. That His name be exalted, that His will be done, that families be restored, that people be brought back to God, that His will is done, that the captives are set free so that we can live in peace. Amen? So I am expectant of that. But the first thing that God will do is send the prophet to say, look, This needs to change. How many of you are listening to some prophets today? There are people that you have maybe vetted that you trust or you know someone else trusts, and you're hearing the things that they've said. How many of you have heard Mario Murillo? Whew. He has come to the church with a word from God that said, stop playing church. The word has come to the church. It's time to change. And then there are the prophets who are decreeing, we are in the time of a great awakening. It was prophesied many, many years ago by many men of God that there would be a last time, an end days revival. See, we all know of the destruction that comes in Revelation. We all know that eventually it's going to go downhill. Eventually, unrighteousness is going to rear its head and have a brief reign in the earth. Eventually. But I'm here to tell you today, it's not time yet. The enemy has attempted to jump the gun with COVID, with the things that he has done. But the Lord has said, what the enemy intended for evil, watch what I do with this. Watch what I do with this. And when the enemy said, everybody's got to stay in their houses, you can't go anywhere, you can't even go to church, guess what we did? Most of us kept coming, but we made our home a church. We began to pray and we began to seek God. If you're not going to let me go anywhere, I'm going to stay home and talk to God. And guess what? When I get out, you're not going to like it, devil. You are not going to like it. The church has been sequestered in some places, in some ways, but we have chosen to make the best use of the time, to redeem the time, because the days are evil, so that when it is the time that God looses us and says, go, we are ready. We are fired up. We have been listening to God. There is a message on the inside of us that will not be stopped. And that is what I'm expecting to see, and I'm excited about it. Praise God. Praise God. Okay, where was I? So God speaks through his prophets. Amos 3:7 tells us that God won't do anything in the earth without first revealing it through his prophets. And the prophets are speaking right now. Now, let me tell you, you have to be careful who you listen to. Okay, it's not just everybody. Not everybody that says, thus saith the Lord, is saying what the Lord says. So you have to use wisdom. You have to use discernment. If you're not sure, come and see one of our ministers. Talk to me or to Pastor Richard or Brother John, Brother Damon, Brother Kim, Brother Brian, Sister Gail, Sister Jerry, people who have been seeking the Lord on these things, and find out, okay, is this person legit? But as you grow in your discernment, you'll be able to read and know, are they just jumping on everybody's coattails, or did they really get a word from God? And God will tell you. He will confirm within you what they are saying. But there are many that have been sent to the church to say, it's time to get it straight. There are those that have been sent to the church to say, God is releasing an awakening. And there is coming a time when they will say, okay, it's time now, go. And we've seen that in waves in different places. Just because somebody else ran outside and started a worship conference doesn't mean that everybody should do it. But I'm inspired by them, and I'm listening, God, when is it time? And there will be a time that God sends us out to the streets, to the city, to the people groups, the nations. There are many, many nations right here in this city. When God sends us to the nations, you may not have to get a passport just to go downtown, just to go into the neighborhoods and the city streets. But there is a time that God will loose us. And until he does, and even when he does, we will continue to give so that these ministries, because some go and some send and some stay with the stuff. And right now, God is having us to send. So we are in the process of sending. What does sending mean? Giving, supporting in prayer, encouraging. Amen. There was a structure built in, I believe it was in Maun, by the family that we are supporting that has started going out in ministry there. And they needed a structure to meet for their church, for a women's conference that's coming up. We sent them some money, and they were able to build it and to pay the workers. And you did that by your giving. So know that this weekend there is a new church structure that is there because of what you have given, that the message of the gospel of the kingdom is going forth. Now understand, there's no chairs in it, there's no pews, there's no AC, there's no indoor plumbing. They just needed some shade. But they've been meeting without it because they said, you're not going to stop us from taking the word of the Lord out. So I am encouraged by their diligence. What can you do with what you have? That's all God asks of us. What can you do with what you have? So we were able to help them do that, and I know we'll be doing more in that. But while we are in that time listening for the word of the Lord, we are sending so that the word is going forth. So the prophets are speaking, and we know that they are telling us that the time is upon us to see the mighty deliverance of the Lord, to see a mighty awakening where many souls are brought in, and many believers who have fallen away will be brought in as well, will be brought back. We've been told many that had pledged allegiance to this house. This is the place where God sent me. This is where he told me to come. I am hooked up. I am plugged in. I am here. And that's the last time we saw him. There's some of those out there that are coming back. Some that were with us for years, that because of circumstances and situations, they were drawn away, but God is bringing them back. So we are looking for that restoration and that awakening because God has told us through his prophets that is what he's doing. So let's move on in Judges. We're in chapter 6. Let's look at verse 11. It says, now the angel of the Lord came and sat under an oak tree that belonged to Joash, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the wine press to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. And he's like, I'm hiding in a wine press, trying to get a little food for the folks. And you tell me, what? Mighty man of valor. And Gideon said to him, please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian. You know, there are a lot of believers that feel this way. They feel like God has forsaken them, that God has forsaken this country. And understand that when the Lord begins talking to you about it, it's not because he's come to tell you it's too late, forget it, y'all messed up, you're done. When the Lord comes and talks to you about it, it's because he's starting something. Yeah, I know it looks bad. There's been issues, there's been problems, but he's starting something. And he came to him and he said, mighty man of valor. How many of you would look around if the angel of the Lord came to you right now and said, mighty man of valor, and you'd be like, I don't know who you're talking to. I'm just a guy sitting here trying to figure out what life is about. But see, God had a plan, and he was stirring something in him. Are you listening? Is God stirring something inside of you? That's what he wants to do. Each individual person is going to have a major part. God's going to come to you and say, I've equipped you to do something mighty. Are you listening? Are you ready? Are you ready? So it looks bad, but God says, that's why I'm here. Things are about to change. And this angel or the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours. Might? Okay. And save Israel from the hand of Midian. For do I not send you? When God says something over you, it is your equipping. Okay? Do you understand that when he said to you, you are more than a conqueror, that is your equipping to step out in what he's called you to do. When he calls you the handmaiden of the Lord, he's saying, you are my servant. When he says daughter of God, he says, you are the one that is close to me. What he calls you, what he has said to you, is your equipping. I can remember one time, in another building, I don't even remember which one, I think it was on 35, we were having our ministry anniversary celebration, and I was talking like this. I had no voice. And we were finishing up singing, about to turn it to the minister, and Pastor Jim turned around to me and said, Michelle, I want you to sing that song. I think it was With All My Heart. And I had a second. And I could have said, I don't have a voice, Pastor. I can't do it. But I remembered his teaching that said, when you are asked through the anointing to do something, that is your equipping. And I looked at him and I said, okay. And they started the music and I said, well, we're going to find out. We're going to find out. And the music started, and when I opened my mouth, sound actually came out, and it wasn't horrible. And I sang that song because I drew on the anointing. And when the song was over, I was back to talking like this. But there was an equipping through the man of God, the anointing that comes over him, and I chose to link up with that equipping and not look at my own inability. Are you listening? I didn't look at my own inability. I listened to the equipping. So we have to believe what God says about us. Now, I have heard a lot of teaching, and I can't put my finger on from where and tell you exactly why, where people warn you, don't put out a fleece. Because we begin to hear Gideon saying, I don't know, God, I'm not sure about this. I need some encouragement. I need some confirmation. I want you to notice how many times throughout these passages that God comes back and confirms what he told him. God wants to confirm what you think you're hearing. Maybe you're just learning to really hear from God for the first time. He wants to confirm it in you. I don't believe he's going to be upset with you when you say, God, I'm pretty sure you said to do this, but I need some confirmation because I don't want to mess things up. Now, there will be a time that he's going to require you when he says go, he just wants you to run. But in those first stages when we're learning, there's encouragement. And so in verse 15, Gideon says, please, how can I save Israel? Look, my clan is the weakest in my tribe, and I am the least in my father's house. Do you look around and say, this is one of the smallest churches I know, and I am one of the weakest people in the smallest church. How are we going to do anything? Have you ever looked around and thought that? See, you need to know that we've got more than enough people in this building right now to change the world. We don't have to grow to 300, 3,000, 5,000, 10,000 to make a difference. I know churches of 5 and 10,000 that are in huge cities and they're not making a dent because it's not about how many. So I'm getting ahead of myself here. And then this encouragement, this angel says, but the Lord will be with you and you will strike the Midianites as one man. And Gideon says, well, if I found favor in your eyes, then show me a sign. Don't depart from me until I come to you and bring out my present, which was going to be a meal, and set it before you. And he said, I'll stay. So Gideon went and he prepared this meal and he brought it out. And the angel said, take the meat and the unleavened cakes and put them on this rock and pour the broth over them. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord reached out the tip of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened cakes, and fire sprang up from the rock and consumed the offering, and the angel of the Lord vanished. How's that for encouragement? How do I know this is you, God? Fire and disappear. That's pretty major. That's pretty major. But I'm telling you, if you will bring yourself as a sacrifice to him, he will confirm what he wants to do in you, and it will become, as the prophet said, a fire shut up in your bones. You're not going to be able to stop yourself when you begin to yield to what the Lord starts in you. And the Lord wants to encourage you in that. So I'm encouraging you to talk to God about confirming things that maybe you think you've been hearing, but maybe you just had a little too much pizza last night. I don't know. Talk to God about it. Ask him, show me this in your word, Father. Confirm those things in me, and he will do it. Then Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. I guess so. And Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for now I've seen the angel. But the Lord said to him, peace be to you, and do not fear. So the angel's gone, but the Lord's still talking to him. Do not fear, you shall not die. So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it the Lord is peace. He built an altar where he would worship God. When he saw that, when he remembered that, he would praise him and he would worship him. You know, that's something that will keep you on track as you're seeking the Lord and you're thinking you hear something from him and you're not sure about it. God, I believe you said this. Take a minute and just worship him. Father, I see you high and lifted up. I am sitting before your throne seeking your face, and I thank you that you are faithful. And as you begin to worship him, he's going to take you right back where he was speaking to you. It's going to help keep you on course. You don't want to get off track. There are other voices out there that we can hear. There are other voices that are wanting to get in. But when we keep him first and exalt him, when we build that altar and we worship him, then he keeps us on track. And so I'm going to skip a little bit and summarize from verses 25 through, I think, 32. What happens there is that God gave him his first instructions of what he was to do. And he said, first of all, I want you to go and I want you to get rid of the altar of Baal that has been built before me in the midst of the people. So you see, the first thing is that we had to get the world out of the midst of us. They had to get this altar of Baal out, and he did what God said and destroyed it, and they got upset with him, and they were going to come after him and kill him because he killed their altar, and his father stood up and said, why don't y'all let Baal stand up for himself? If Baal's upset, he can take care of him. Baal was just an idol that they had carved. Had no ability to come against the man of God with the instructions. And so they said, oh, okay, we'll let Baal fight his own battles. And nothing happened to Gideon. So even though he went against the enemy, see, some of us are afraid to stand up against these idols, against these things. But God is on your side. God is on your side. God is with you. He is in you. And so the word of the prophets has come to the church and said, get the world out of the church. Get the world out of the church. Some churches more so than others. I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say you've done wrong and you've done wrong. That's up to God to point it out. What he asks us to do is search our hearts. God, what is it that you want? Maybe it's been this thing where this 80-20 rule where 80% of the people expect 20% to do the work. I think some places it's more like 90-10 or 95-5. People think I put my money in the offering plate, that's so you can go hear from God and encourage me, and then I can go home and not have to worry about it. But see, God wants to dwell and speak to and use each one of us. And when we get the mindset that I'm nobody and these people up here are somebody, we've got it messed up. That's the way the world looks at things. They look at the people on stage and they're the stars, and everybody else is just supposed to fund the stars. But see, that's not how God has it in the church. God said, hey guys, fivefold, I want y'all to come together. These are the stars. These are the people on the stage, and I want you to equip them. I want you to teach them. I want you to put the word in them, and I want you to equip them because these are the ones I want to send out. He's not sending out the fivefold ministry because he asked the fivefold to come in the house and equip the people. So who's he sending out? The people. He wants to send you. He wants to equip you to do something mighty. That's the whole point. Maybe that's part of the world system that we've got in, or maybe it's, you know, we want to look so much like the world. You know, we want to take all of the secular music and just change one or two words, and we want to get the orchestra, and we have to have, all those things are beautiful. They were created by God to be used, but for the right reasons. Who are we trying to look like? Are we trying to look like the courts of heaven with outrageous praise, extravagant praise, or are we trying to look like, you know, the Apollo or some other place where they've got some really good acts going on? We want to get some really good acts because that'll bring the people in. It's not up to us to bring the people in. The Holy Spirit adds to the church as he chooses. We're not up here to put on a show so that you enjoy it and maybe you'll come back. That's the wrong mentality. God, I just want to obey what you said and do what you said to do, and you send whom you will. And then it's up to you to say, God, where do you want me? And if you go in somewhere because they serve better coffee when you come in than the next place does, or their couches are more comfortable, or they have a better program for the kids. You know, I want my kids to come to church and have fun because that's what it's about, right? I have friends that told me that. Well, you know, we went to a church and we didn't like it, so we decided to let our kids pick the church. And they went around to a bunch of kids' ministries and they found the one they liked the best. And, of course, their children. Their children, so it was the one with the most toys. Okay? Their children, so it was the one with the most toys. Do you hear me? There are adults that are children in the Lord, and they're looking for the church with the most toys. Those are some things that God said, we can't have that anymore. I need grown-ups. I can't take the world with children. I need some grown-ups. And so he's telling us to take those things out, to get those things out of the church. Many churches are self-serving. They're about what the people want. And, you know, the message of the blood of Jesus offends me, so y'all need to take that out. And I know churches that won't teach on the gifts of the Spirit. They won't allow the gifts of the Spirit to flow. They would not allow Sister Gail to come forward and speak about what God has put on her heart because that's just a little weird and people would be offended. If y'all want to do that in your homes with a home Bible study, but I'm just afraid that'll get out of hand, so I'm not going to do it. There are churches who willfully do not speak about the blood of Jesus and do not allow that flow. And God said, you can't take the world without the fullness. You can't muzzle the prophets. You can't muzzle the Holy Spirit. You can't get rid of the blood because it's offensive, because those are foundational. Those are basics. Those are things that you have to live. So God said, take those things down and take them out. And it is a bold minister who will stand up in the middle of having done that and turn it around. I'm watching a few churches just to see what happens. I don't know, God. I'm not judging. You know the hearts. I don't. I'm not pointing any fingers. I'm just saying I've heard some stuff and it didn't settle with my spirit. And the prophets are saying, you got to stop. You got to stop playing. It's time to stop playing. So that's the first thing that he had to do in the time when God was ready to move and bring deliverance and heal the land, was to get the world out of the church. And then he begins assembling warriors in verse 33 and 34, and he's bringing them together. But then, after God has done all of this, this is where Gideon says, but you know what, God, just to be sure, I call this encouragement number 3. He puts a fleece out, and he wants it, you know, the dew to get it wet and leave the ground dry. And God says, okay, and then he does it again. You know, you begin to wonder, how insecure is this guy? Well, you know, there have been some times I was pretty insecure, and I'm thankful that God was faithful to meet me where I was and continue to draw me out, to continue to confirm, to continue to encourage. That's what happens when we have ministers like Brother Brad Fluke and Brother Joel, Brother Nigel, ministers that flow in the prophetic with Sister Gail and many people in this body that will encourage you in the Lord in what he has called you to do, that personal word, that personal encouragement. And you hear it, and it's like, man, that's what God just said to me. Except I thought it was God, and I wasn't sure, and I just wanted to be sure, and here it is. Here it is. He said it again by somebody else that had no idea. That's why it's important to come when we have these men and women of God in. That's why it's important to be in the assembly, because many times this is where your encouragement comes, and you'll hear a word that's exactly the same word that someone else said. God told me on, last Tuesday or Saturday, he said, I think it was the Saturday before, he said, it's time to step over the threshold, and it looks too hard. And then I'm reading the very next day, at the same time the Lord gave someone halfway around the world a word that says, my people have been afraid to step over the threshold, but it's time. God was encouraging me. Yeah, I said that, and it's true, and it is what's happening. God wants to encourage you in what he's called you to do. So this is encouragement number 4. God will send you the confirmation. So now we're going to jump into chapter 7, and for a few minutes we're going to see what God does here. Most of you know this story, but I think you might see a couple of new things in it. They renamed him because he was the one that took down Baal. So they renamed him Jerubbaal. I'm not sure if that's how you say it, but it's Gideon still. And all the people that were with him rose early. Remember, he said, God, we are too small to do this. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hand, lest Israel boast over me, saying, my own hand has saved me. Have you ever noticed that? God wants to use somebody that it looks completely impossible for them to be. They're not qualified. God, really. But God uses them and makes a show of those that he says, this is who I called. Y'all didn't see it, but I saw it. And God is faithful to use those. So God wants to bring it down. And he told Gideon, there's too many with you. So let's look at who he eliminated. In chapter 7 and verse 3, it says, now therefore proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and trembling, let him return home and hurry away. Whoever is fearful. Whoever is fearful. Fearful is without faith. Those who don't really believe that what God said, he would do it. Those who don't really believe it's important to do it just like God said it, because, you know, that could be scary. That could be hard. God said, I need you to step up and trust me. There's a lot I could say in the time that we're in right now about being fearful. But I want to let God speak to your heart. I don't want you to judge and think about anybody else but yourself. God, am I fearful? Am I willing, if I walked outside and you said, go pray for this person, would I do it? Would I be afraid of not knowing what to say? Would I be afraid of saying the wrong thing? Would I be afraid of what if they breathe on me and I get COVID? Would I be afraid of, what are you afraid of? God got rid of the fear. And look how many it was. They had, if math serves me correctly, they had 32,000, and 22,000 of them left. That was over half. And Gideon thought they were too few already. And now they've gone from 32,000 down to 10,000. But then he kept going. The Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Take them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. And whatever I tell you, that's what you need to do, is basically what he says. So in verse 5, he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps the water with his tongue as a dog laps, set by himself, and everyone who kneels down to drink. And he said, the ones that put their hands to their mouth, you'll keep. Now, I've heard a lot of different things and judgments said about this. I don't know, but this is what the Lord showed me. He said that those who just leaned down and lapped, they knelt down and they just lapped the water, they weren't concerned about anything around them. They weren't concerned about, is the enemy on the ridge up there? They weren't concerned about, does my brother need anything? They weren't concerned about the whole. They just wanted what they wanted. I want water. And they just got the water. Those who cupped it and brought it were aware. They were observing. They were watching. Is there somebody that needs help? Is there something else God wants me to do? Is there an enemy that I need to be aware of? These were people that were not selfish. It's not all about me. I'm in this with a lot of other people. There's a lot going on. People that are watchful. Ephesians, when he talks about praying, he says, watch thereunto for all the saints. Are you watching in the spirit? God, who needs something? Do I need to call Miss Mary this week? Has she got something going on? God, do I need to come alongside Todd this week against the enemy, something that he's trying to do with him? People who were aware and watching, that's who God wanted to use. Are you watching? Are you listening? Or are you just here to get what you can get and go? It's a paradigm shift for some of us. Yes, we come to be fed. We come to hear. We come for help in worshiping God. We come together to listen. But it's not just about me. Jesus said, a body you prepared for me so that I can do your will. God is preparing us, not so that we can go home and be blessed and have abundance and woohoo, look at us, God is good. He is preparing a body to do something. He's looking for those who are ready and willing, that when he says, do this, you're not afraid and you're not upset because, man, if I do that, I'm going to have to miss the football game. I'm going to have to miss America's Got Talent. I'm going to have to miss going out with my buddies Friday night. I'm going to have to, what do I have to give up, God? That's not the right question. God, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to be? And anything I scheduled that gets in the way of it is no more. Is no more. There is great reward, but where's your heart? Do you see the lost? Do you see the hurting? You have the answers. You have the answers to what the people out there need. If you know Jesus, you've got the answer. But are you afraid to take it? Or are you just too comfortable to get out there? I'm not saying anybody here is in that boat. I'm just saying that that's what God said we have to get rid of. So I'm examining my heart. Where is my comfort zone that I need to get out of it? What is it that I'm thinking, God, that you want to change? Because there's always more. There's always better. There's always growing. And that's where I want to be. Amen? So they went, after this next one, they went from 32,000 to 300 men. Now remember, they had talked about the enemy that came against them, just their camels. The word said, I don't think we read it, the word says that just their camels were as the sands of the sea. They could not be counted. They could count 32,000, but they could not count the might against them. And it reminds me of, I think it was Elisha and Gehazi when they were in the mountain and they were running and the host of the armies gathered around them and they were cut off from anywhere and Gehazi was really upset and he was like, I don't think you understand what we're up against. And the prophet said, I don't think you understand who's with us. And he asked God to open his eyes and suddenly he saw the encampment of the angels with flaming swords surrounding the enemy and he's like, oh, well, that doesn't look so bad. See, when you understand who is with you, you're not worried about who's against you. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is the abundance in you than the lack that is in the world. Greater is the health and wholeness inside of you than the sickness that tries to come against you from the world. You are more than enough. You are more than enough to do what God has called you to do and to be that. So we see them down to 300, and God gave them a strategy. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but he gave them a strategy, but there's one more encouragement before they go down. I don't know where I put it in my notes. Starting in verse 10, in chapter 7 and verse 10 is what I call encouragement number 5. God said, but if you're still not sure about it, if you'll take your servant and you'll go down and just listen to what's going on in the camp, you're going to hear something good. And so even before Gideon asked him, you know, last chance, God, you got anything to say to me? Because I just want to make sure. Before Gideon even asked, God gave him an encouragement, a confirmation, and he went down there to listen to what they said. And when Gideon came, behold, a man was telling a dream to his comrade. This is the enemy's. And he said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and a cake of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian and came to the tent and struck it so that it fell and turned it upside down, so the tent lay flat. And his comrade answered, there is no other than the sword of Gideon. This is no other than the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. God has given into his hand Midian and all the camp. He told them what was coming so they could encourage Gideon. See, God's making a place for you. He's preparing things for you, and he wants you to be encouraged. It's not a matter of not wanting to be encouraged because God wants that for you. It's when we just decide it can't be done that we can't be used. Maybe you have a little concern on the inside of you about asking that coworker if you can pray with them. But what if, you know, what if they had a thought the night before, man, I wish somebody would come pray for me. You see, God can put that in them. And then when you come, it's a confirmation. We need to trust that the Lord is making that place for us as he did there with Gideon. And again, Gideon worshiped God for his faithfulness. As soon as Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation, he worshiped. He thanked God for his faithfulness and his encouragement. He built an altar there and worshiped the Lord because he was good. So I'm not going to go through the rest of it. You can read it, finish off chapter 7 there in Judges. But they went forth and they defeated the enemies, and they had 40 years of peace. 40 years of peace, of being able to raise their crops and not have them stolen, not being stolen from, not being taken from, not hiding, not afraid to tell anybody that they were believers because they were afraid that, you know, they might come and tear up their house and spray paint things on the outside. You know, there are many places that people are afraid to say, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, because of the way that mobs in the streets have been turning against them. But God wants to change that and give us a place where we're not afraid and we do live in peace. That's what God wants to do in our nation now, but it's going to take getting the world out of the church. It's going to take not being selfish and listening to God and being obedient to what he tells us to do. Amen? Amen. So the word is going forth through God's prophets. He's saying, stop playing church, repent, return to me, and get serious about the times. Get serious about the times. Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 15, he says, look carefully how you walk. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and the witless, I love the Amplified, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people, making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. Was he talking to pastors in Ephesians? Was he talking to prophets and apostles? No, he was writing a letter to the saints, to the people, to the folks in Ephesus. Understand the times. Understand the seriousness of this time. It's not time to play anymore. Do you know God? Do you hear his voice? Does he speak to you? Do you know for sure? If you're not sure, then talk to him about it. Say, God, you gave 5 points of confirmation to Gideon. I need to hear something from you, and then I want you to confirm it to me, because I want to learn how to walk in this. The times are serious. It is important in training your children, in taking care of your household. It is important to know the voice of God, to know what he's saying, to know where he tells you to go to church. It needs to be from him. But how will you know if it's from him if you're not even sure if you're hearing him? And that's what this time has been set aside for, to learn, to hear his voice, to hear what he is saying, to spend time with him and then be obedient to something as strange as walk next to Jerry. Okay, God, I don't know why this is weird. I feel like a stalker. Walk next to Jerry. Does she know what I'm doing? Does she know why? Just be obedient. And there was healing for me. God did something special for me because I was listening. Not because I'm any more special than anybody else. It's available for all of us. So God wants us to be carriers of his love and his anointing, to let those signs follow us, as in Mark 16, verse 17. These attesting signs will accompany those who believe. How many believe? How many of you believe? So this is what is supposed to be accompanying you. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will take up serpents. And even if they drink anything deadly, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. That's your promise when you come up against the enemy, when you come up against something deadly. God's saying, I got your back. These signs are going to follow. You step out in what you know, and I have got your back. I will take care of this for you. The enemy's not going to take you over. But you're going to be able to do amazing things because God is faithful, and he wants us to walk in that and to take it to the nations, to all people groups, to get the world out, to get fear and selfishness out, and take the message of the gospel of the kingdom to all people groups to set the captives free. I want to tell you this morning that the Spirit of the Lord is upon you because he has anointed you to set the captives free. That's your commission this week. God, where do you want me? What do you want me to do? Amen? All right.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, we just lift before you now your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that you have delivered your word to us through your Spirit, Father God, and it has taken hold in our spirit. We thank you that the seed that is planted will not be stolen from, but Father, I thank you that it produces much fruit, what you have intended, and we thank you for your anointing that is here even now. We thank you, Father God, that you are here to set people free. You are here to liberate, and we give glory and honor to you. If you have a need, if you need prayer, I want you to stand just right now. I'm not going to have you come down, but I just want, you know, if there's an issue or something that's not right and you want some help, you want some prayer. All right. All right. Praise God. Praise God. Well, those of you who are around, reach your hands out. And if you're close enough, go ahead and put your hand on them. If you can't get to them, then just reach your hand to them. Father God, we thank you. Thank you, Father, that your word said that we would lay hands on the sick, they would recover, that you would lead us and guide us in all of our ways. And Father God, to those who are standing right now, I release your anointing. I release your power to be evident in their life through the hands of those who are standing close by and touching. I release the anointing, the power of the Most High God to change situations, to set free those who are captive, for healing for their physical bodies, healing for their minds, healing for their hearts. Father God, I thank you that their lives will be different when they walk out these doors than they were when they came in. Father, I thank you that you are drawing by your Spirit those who need to come into your house, Father God, need to sit at your table. I thank you that you are opening doors. You are making the way for them. And I thank you, Father God, that your presence, your awesome presence, and your awesome anointing brings liberty, brings peace, brings joy and love. Father God, you said your kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I thank you for that righteousness, that you have made them righteous because of the blood of Jesus, because of the price that he paid. I thank you, Father, for the joy of the Lord that produces strength in us. And Father, I thank you for the peace that passes understanding to guard their heart, to change their way of thinking, to change their thought patterns into your thought patterns, Father God, that you bring peace into their lives, you bring healing into their lives, you bring salvation and joy and all that you have provided. We thank you for it. We give glory and honor to you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Now, if you're receiving prayer, just receive that and say, it applies to me. It is mine. I take it. And if you need some more, if you need to speak with a minister, you need, come on down and after we dismiss and we can take care of that. We can take care of that. So stand with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord. I thank you for coming today. We just release again a special anointing on you. We release the peace of God into your heart. I say that you are children of the Most High God, and great is your peace and undisturbed composure, that you are taught of the Lord, taught of the Lord. And in everything you do, you are successful, you are prosperous. God's hand is on your life, and you are the sweet-smelling aroma of his presence everywhere you go, and you bring healing, you bring light, you bring peace when you show up. God's favor surrounds you and covers you and makes a way for you where there really seems to be no way. But God has always had his hand on your life, and you follow him, and you are blessed to be a blessing. Blessed to be a blessing in everything. God smiles his face on you. Hallelujah. You are dismissed. Go with God. Again, if you need more prayer, just come on down the front and ministers will meet you here.